barbecue guy. I made a nice steak the other night. Yes, I did.
All right, Buccaneers fans, day two of mandatory minicamp is in the books, and we are sweaty here on the Ira Kaufman podcast, walking off the practice field and into the Bill Curry Ford Studios right here at the dealership, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Don't worry, drive Curry. Sage, more great offers from Bill Curry Ford. Everybody just has to get to the website. Curry is the family name, third generation family dealership, C-U-R-R-I-E. That's Bill Curry Ford. Not only open on Sundays, but service is available on Sundays. Check out the website. Great offers going on, Ira. And that includes the summer paycation event. $1,000 more for your trade is on the table and no payments until the fall. So you can get into a vehicle now and take a deep breath and worry about that after your summer vacation. You'll make your first payment, whatever it is, September 19th, you know, after the Bucks win a couple of games. Bill Curry Ford also has the Ira Kaufman discount. That is in the pocket of Bill Curry Ford general manager Sean Sullivan. Reach out to him at the dealership in person, online. You can find his email easily. You can talk Bucks with him and catch his latest draft breakdown on the Best in Class podcast, because Sean is our draft guru. That's his full-time job with us. And
he's damn good at it.
And he runs the dealership in his spare time, BillCurryFord.com. We thank our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. I hope you don't need them, but you need to be aware of them and ready for them. Get to their website, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. We'll talk more about them, Sage. We've got a lot going on at JoeBucksFan.com. As always, I'm Steve Isbitz, Lee D. Kemper's here, and the water damage whisperer, Ira Kaufman, wearing his Bill Curry Ford shirt. Ira, how are you? 2 days of practice in a row. Are you hydrated?
I'm fully hydrated. Kudos to the crack PR staff of the Buccaneers. I was greeted by a barrel full of water, ice cold. It went down very well because, yes, it is June in Florida, and we all know what that means. So, you know, so far, it's been kind of uneventful, I think, around one Buck place, and Todd Bowles is very happy with that as a description. Yeah, you got your bumps and bruises, Tristan Wirfs. He doesn't seem too worried about it. Some other guys didn't practice, but some guys are opening some eyes. Some of the younger players. Lee, I actually saw Jamel Dean with a pick in his hands, I believe. I saw Kyle Trask make some nice completions. So, and we got to talk to Braswell, Reddick, Gedeke. Gedeke's impressive. It's impressive. He says all the right things. He's quite a story because he said he struggled a bit at left guard. I think that's a little bit of an understatement. They were not happy with him at left guard.
They're the ones who put him there, so they shouldn't be mad at him.
Well, I guess at the time they had a right tackle named Tristan Wirfs, who was playing the right side. Gedeke's a natural right tackle. I guess they didn't trust him at left tackle. Donovan Smith was still around. You know, he's playing out of position. The famous cross train, Lee. The word I don't want to hear anymore. Out of Jason Light or Todd Bowles. Boy, he has developed in a hurry to one of the better right tackles in the league. He's top 10. I mean,
yeah, that's
fair. You know, and then they got a top three on the left side. Who's going to match that?
Who's the top three?
Wirfs.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I'd consider him minimum top two.
Could be top two, yeah. I mean, Trent Williams ain't getting any younger.
Did you see he said he's going to play until he can't stand up anymore?
I think Wirfs is already past him. I do.
It's fair.
When he gives up a sack, Lee... And I'm sitting next to you in the press box. We look at each other like,
"What happened?"
You know, I dropped my pretzel. I dropped my pretzel right away.
Real quick about Gedeke. I just happened to run into an NFL assistant. He's an offensive assistant coach at St. Elmo's that I know. And Sean was with me. And, you know, we had a couple of drinks talking to the guy. And I don't know how Gedeke came up. His name came up. But he said, "What the Bucks did to him as a rookie wasn't fair." I said, "What do you mean?" And he just talked about when you come from a small school, his experience is they will struggle if you move them to the other side of the ball from a small school. He said, SEC, Big Ten, that's a different story. He came from the MAC. He said, so they move him. They didn't just change positions on him, which they did. They put him on the other side of the ball. And he said that really wasn't fair to him. And he goes, look what happened when they moved him back to his natural position.
Of course, I'm not disagreeing with the assistant coach that Lee ran into, but bottom line, Ali Marpet played left tackle, Division III, walks into right guard. He was good in the NFL as a rookie. Good rookie season. Gedeke comes in, and I think we got to call it what it really was. Tom Brady said, I don't want this guy in front of me anymore. He's making too many mistakes. So they didn't let him be a rookie. He went against a bunch of tough defensive tackles.
They wanted to get him on the field, right?
They wanted to get him on the field. They penciled him in as the starting left guard, and Brady didn't want to deal with some of the growing pains, so they yanked him. I don't think they would have touched him if it was any other quarterback other than Brady. And then the right thing happened, which these teams don't do enough. The Bucs rested starters against the Falcons, tanked the damn game to close the 2022 season, and that gave Gedeky an opening to play right tackle for a game. And he looked comfortable and good, and they were like, oh, wow, all right, well, I think he can do it. And here we are.
And then they had the plans to move Worfs to the left side anyway,
yeah.
Right?
Real quick about offensive line, and this may be unethical to say because it's so damn early and it's underwear football and they can't hit and they really can't block. Maybe you guys have noticed, I don't know, but the second team offensive line, dreadful. Poor Kyle Trask is running for his life half the time. And when he's not running for his life, he's getting pressured up the middle. That second team offensive line, I know it's underwear football, I know it's early, but boy, oh boy, when the pads come on, they better start making some improvements.
You know,
either that or they better pray there's no injuries on the...
Well, first of all, to think that your five offensive linemen as a collective group aren't going to miss any games is crazy.
Well, FYI, Heck is playing for Worfs right now, so Heck is not involved with that. Okay. Second, right now, he's not involved with the second
speaking
game.
Of underwear football, I find it very refreshing from a Todd Bowles perspective that he talks about underwear football, maybe he doesn't use those terms. He's talking about T-shirts and different things.
Shorts.
When any questioner is trying to read too much into what's going on in mandatory, I like the fact that Bowles is doing that.
He's upfront about it.
I think it was twice on Tuesday he said to Jenna Lane of ESPN, T-shirts and shorts, Jenna, T-shirts
that's
and
right.
shorts.
That's right.
So that's Bowles. He gets it. Ira, as far as on the field, a couple of things that the Bucs are doing. I didn't want fans to freak out too much. I wrote this up. Hassan Reddick met the media, but one thing he said before we get into some of the interesting comments he had, he was asked about David Walker, the rookie that they fourth round pick that they say is going to, you know, be a Super Bowl cog and explosive edge rusher. He hasn't practiced this week, and Reddick came out and said, well, he's dealing with a health wise thing. So, whoa. And I reached out.
And again, how did that happen?
I reached out. It's a minor injury. I was told very minor. He would play on Sunday probably if there was a game.
He'll be ready for camp.
And they're just being extra cautious with these guys. Now, that didn't bother me at all about Walker, but Reddick said it out there that the guy was hurt.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's different. You don't usually hear teammates talk about another guy's injury. Matt Morrison didn't play. Second round pick.
Didn't practice.
Now that, the guy came in with an injury history and he's missing a practice. To me, it's something. I don't know what it is, but it's something.
We'll talk more about it if he's not practicing on August 2nd. I'm not going to lose sleep over Benjamin Morrison in the middle of June, Lee. It'd be nice if he could attend every practice and participate. But I think they're being cautious. As a general rule, I think this entire coaching staff's being quite cautious with these players. And I don't mind it a bit.
I would think fellow members of your anti-Jamel Dean clique would be crying right now because they want him to start week one over Dean.
Plenty of time for that, Lee. Plenty of time. Let me make an observation, gentlemen. Maybe I'm the only guy that says this. Of course, I'm over there 5'6" and with my boots on and my lifts on. But I'm looking at Braswell and even Reddick. Boy, if you passed him on the street, you wouldn't think this guy is flying off the edge and he's going to get past the offensive tackle and...
Braswell looks like he's chiseled to me.
Well, he might be chiseled, but he's small chiseled. Where's the hulking 6'4" outside pass rusher?
That's Diaby. He's as big as it gets.
And that's Diaby. Lee, were you there when I asked Mr. Reddick about trying to regain his reputation as a premier pass rusher in this league?
I thought he
was going to come after me. He took two steps towards me, Steve. Where were you? You're supposed to protect you're the sage.
He put on a big smile and said, basically, I think I'm quoting him, he said, regain my status.
I think he did say that.
Something like that. He was a little sarcastic, and
I think it's legitimately because he used to be talked about as a notch below Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt. He was in the conversation.
You're not wrong, but you got to remember these athletes don't look at it the same way we do.
Yeah, they don't like that regain thing.
Well, they don't believe in objectivity.
He understood that you were saying, "Hey, you sucked last year," and you know, are you excited to be great again? But he was very affable with the media, very open. He said, "Hey, let me come out and say that I don't think I'll address me not being here for OTAs. I don't think it's a big deal.
Right.
I've got a regimen that I've been doing off seasons is working for me. You
know, we hounded him into giving us a number of sacks he's hoping for this year. And the only thing he came up with was double digits. When he was walking past and he was finished, I was going to say, and I punked out, I was going to say, hey, 19's got a nice ring to it, Hassan. What do you think of number 19? Of course, Shaq Barrett had 19 and a half years ago. I don't believe Redick in that regard. I think he's got a number in mind, and I think he's going to try to get there.
Do you believe what Redick said, his explanation for not showing up at OTAs, which I thought was very good explanation, but I don't know.
Working out with his people? Or
well, what got me was, because look, I wanted to get everything taken care of. I wanted to get moved in. I wanted to get everything situated. I wanted no distractions.
No distractions.
And as soon as I practiced, I wanted nothing but football. I want to be a great player. I want to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. I mean, it sounded real good. I don't know.
I think he said great player about six times. I'll take it one time. You don't have to say it six times. They're banking on him, Steve. They're banking on him because they didn't sign another free agent with his skill set. They didn't draft anybody in the first three rounds of the draft as an edge rusher. That tells me that they're banking on this guy. I think he's going to come through. We shall see. But I think there's a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, I don't know anything about his personal life. He was asked you if you buy what he was saying. I've never heard him mention kids or family. I don't know anything about his personal life. Maybe he wanted to buy a house, and maybe he's one of these guys that moves, like Shiloh Sanders with three truckloads of stuff. He's got to get ready for a big move. I don't know. I mean, it is safe to say the Bucks don't really care. He's in shape. He's healthy. That's all his whole goal.
Hey, and Gettyke, you're going to have some good battles.
I thought it was interesting. He mentioned something like this defense is easy. Learning the defense is easy. And Todd Bowles always talks about, oh, it takes a couple of years for these guys to understand how we do handle edge rushers. And
didn't he say he's played in this kind of defense also in the past?
Whatever.
Arizona?
Whatever it was, he seemed crazy confident. But he did sort of, he spent this 2 minutes talking about how I don't set personal goals. And then he's like, well, people get it messed up.
Sometimes they coincide with the team
goals. Personal goals have to align with team goals. And then he said he doesn't have a sack total. And then he was asked about it again. And he's like, well double digits, but not a crazy number.
Lee, in my book, 14 sacks goes along with a team goal. It covers all the bases.
Well, I don't think they signed Redick to get 7 sacks. Let's put it that way.
But he did say, if I don't have a lot of sacks, I don't care, as long as I'm playing well, team's playing well. He's saying all the right things. And look, hopefully he's just an upgrade, and we'll take it, whatever it is.
Ira, what do you make of Redick saying that he could tell just from playing for the Eagles that Tom Brady changed the culture here? That he could tell playing on another team. What do you make of that?
The first thing that tells me, nobody around the league was thinking about the Bucs until Brady arrived.
Exactly.
And I understand that.
Lost decade.
Was it 12 straight?
No playoffs, yeah.
Yeah, 12. That was the longest streak in the NFC. Not in the league, but in the NFC. That's the first thing that struck me, Lee, is the Bucs weren't even on his radar as an NFL team. But they're well aware of what Brady did to turn this culture around, Lee. You're always talking about as a culture changer. And that's why Tom Brady's going to land in the top 10 of our top 50 lists. Mm-hmm. Even though, in my mind, he was here 3 years, but I'm only counting the first two because I didn't like much about that third year. And there were a lot of distractions. There were. No question about it.
Both good and bad.
On the field, Ira, Lee, I think what is totally overlooked about this minicamp is nobody talks about Baker Mayfield because we all expect good things, but he looks really good. He's got a lot of zip on the ball. Almost seems like a little bit more than what I remember in the past. The deep throws look good. He looks great.
Steve, I think we got to say he's a top 10 quarterback. I mean, who would have said that 3 years ago? Baker Mayfield, top 10 quarterback. They would have said, no, top 10 backup.
Well, to that point, I think that's still why he's so disrespected, because people still associate him as the backup with the Panthers and the guy the Browns walked away from. I really believe that.
And I just think he gives the Bucs a huge advantage in the division. Penix might be good. He might be good. He's played 3 games. He started 3 games.
So you're no fan of Tyler Slough?
Who knows what's going on in Gumbo City over there, the Crescent City. And, Bryce Young, he had a nice December, early January, but he's got a lot to learn. He doesn't have great receivers. He's got a rookie receiver.
He's
to
got
break
some
in.
Receivers over there.
Well,
Thielen?
Thielen's like 35.
Yeah, they got LeGuette. They signed another guy. They got some talent.
You see Mike Evans over there?
But they've got some talent. They drafted the rookie, the big rookie. Maybe he's something, McMillan.
I just think having that quarterback like a Mayfield without any questions and at a reasonable price. Please.
Very reasonable.
And at a reasonable price. They got to redo him at the end of this year.
Jason Light got such a hell of a deal on Baker Mayfield. The only better deal you can get that I can think of is Bill Curry Ford.
There you go.
There you go. BillCurryFord.com. So, Ira, you know, Chris Sims does his annual summer quarterback rankings.
Well, he better bump up Mayfield a little bit.
Last year, he had Mayfield as number 15 last summer. And this year, he's done. Mayfield number 9. Broke his top 10. And he had him one notch ahead of Jalen Hurts, which surprised me. And one notch behind Justin Herbert, which surprised me because I think Herbert's a little bit overrated. What do you think of that number 9 slot? Do you think he's deserving?
I do. I'm a little surprised that Jalen Hurts being 10. After all, he's been in 2 Super Bowls, and he played great in the Super Bowl they lost to the Chiefs.
Not that great. Remember the ugly turnover?
Well, I understand, but you could argue that he played better than Mahomes did in that game. I mean, you could. He didn't have to be that good against the Chiefs this time around because their defense was so ferocious. Number 9 sounds about right to me, Lee. I mean, I can't put him ahead of Joe Burrow.
No.
I can't do it. Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. You know, can't do it, guys like that. Josh Allen, of course. Sims better not have Caleb Williams ahead of Mayfield.
No.
Don't tell Sean Sullivan that.
No. He said of Mayfield, pocket passer with a rocket arm. He noted how he's making a high percentage of highlight throws compared to other QBs. Sees the field great, makes the tough throws with ease. He likes his arm angles. Only negative from Sims is that he's making too many throws that he shouldn't. You know, he's got to cut back that number a little bit. And all in all, says he's among the most dangerous quarterbacks in the game. Just that
you
simple.
You think Mayfield's going to make a concerted effort, Lee, to throw the ball away and
not
do,
really.
Do a Brady? I don't see it.
Not really. Maybe once in a while, but not really.
He trusts his arm, doesn't he, Lee? He trusts it.
He trusts his legs, too. Like he told you yesterday, I'm trying to win. They're trying to protect me.
Interesting chatter. Discussion I had at $1, Ira, a couple of them, this week. First, I did happen to see somebody working for the Bucks who was carrying a printed out version of that Mayfield story that I wrote about Chris Sims.
Whoa.
And I happened to say hello to this person. And
it was a printout.
They were holding it. Yeah, they were holding it. It was like wrapped over other papers. I said, you want me to autograph that for you? And they just said no. And that was it. So that was funny. But I was talking with somebody at $1 about Josh Grizzard. And the good news was that the opinion expressed to me, and I didn't ask about Josh Grizzard, was that unlike Canales and Cohen, Josh Grizzard is not the guy who is expecting, fishing for, has a team of people pushing for him to become a head coach next year. His predecessors were those people. He's just dialed into the job, wants to do a good job, isn't wired that way or thinking that way in any way, shape, or form. And that could help the Bucks if they do have a good season, that Grizzard just hasn't set up the infrastructure for himself to move on.
Here's another difference between Grizzard, Cone, and Canales, and I think it's an interesting one. Those two guys were trying to resurrect a deplorable ground game, and he's not. So how much of a top 5 rushing attack was Cone's schemes? How much of it was Bucky Irving? You can't put it all on Bucky Irving because Rashad White ran better, considerably better, than he had the previous 2 years
in terms of
his average. You know, does Bredesen make that much of a difference in Barton? Maybe.
Kevin Carberry?
But that's a good one, Lee. You know, those two guys, I think they were obsessed with getting this ground game going, and they couldn't do it, Lee. They couldn't do it for whatever reason. And then here comes Cone through scheme, Bucky Irving, whatever, and it's a hell of a ground game. I don't think Grizzard is going to be obsessed about that. It's almost like, don't mess with a good thing here. We got it rolling.
I think part of the obsession was Bowles. He wants to run the ball. That was just an incredible turnaround last year when you go from league worst.
We
twice
were saying get up to the middle of the pack.
Yeah, and that's actually a pretty good production. Going from worst to middle of the pack, they almost went from worst to first.
Some of the teams that were ahead of them in terms of overall rushing attack, they had running quarterbacks. Now, Mayfield's effective, but he's not a running quarterback like Lamar
Jackson.
Yeah,
he's not run first. No, you're correct.
So, Steve, you got to factor that in, too. They arguably had one of the top three running games in the league.
I still say, as desperate as people are for offensive coaches, if the Bucs do make any kind of run, Grizzard's probably gone. I know he's not preparing to be a head coach. All it takes is one phone call. All it takes is
nobody
one phone
saw
call.
Canales getting head coaching job.
No, but
no, nobody did.
It didn't surprise me how and why he wound up in Carolina. More and more, these new owners, they don't come from football families. They come from the business world. And they're used to corporate personalities, corporate behavior.
He's a good front
man. He's an excellent front man. And that's why I thought he got the job, was his personality.
But Steve,
I mean, he's
Steve,
nothing but effusive.
Steve, they only averaged 20 points for Canales. I mean, that was enough to impress the Carolina owner.
You say nobody saw Canales in that role, but Canales did. And that's the whole point that I think was being made to me and what I think is important. Canales viewed himself as, hey, I spent 12, 14 years around Pete Carroll. I know how it's done. I've seen how it's done. I've been around many offensive coordinators. I know how to lead. I'm going to prove it, and then I want a head coaching job.
Does Grizzard have that same kind of resume?
No, he doesn't.
One phone call.
But I get what you're saying about the one phone call. Somebody could throw money on him, and he'd be like, yeah, sure.
What are you saying? They're not distracted? They're just 100% focused on the Bucs offense?
I'm saying I agree with you that all it takes is one phone call, but Grizzard still has to, when you take that phone call, you still got to be able to say, this is my plan for a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
This is who I've talked to. So, yeah.
He's locked in 100% on the Bucs offense.
It's just not on his radar like the other guys. I have heard that Cohen was, you know, from day one, was thinking, next year, where am I going to be head coach? if not in Tampa, where? And, you know, he had forces driving that for him. You know?
If not Tampa, where?
Anyway, Sage, practice. Lee, what stood out for you?
Not a whole lot in practice outside of what I said earlier. That second team offensive line, and it's almost irresponsible because it's underwear football. But Trask was just, as Ira would say, under duress.
Your man Egbuka do anything?
He made some nice catches.
Some nice catches.
I mean, that's starting to be the norm. I heard Bowles talking about Tez Johnson. He said he's not just a returner. The implication being he could be a wide receiver.
He's got a big depth chart to try to crawl past.
Yeah, I had heard through the grapevine that one of the issues, maybe the only issue, I don't know, with Trey Palmer is he needs work with his route running at the top of his routes, i.e. deep balls.
Maybe he flattens them out a little, flattens the pattern.
Could be, but he needs work. And that's why him and Mayfield have never gotten on the same page when it comes to the deep ball. Yesterday, we heard a lot of talk from Mayfield, not so much from Bowles, a lot from Mayfield, that they want explosive plays more than last year. They want to go long more than last year, which isn't saying a whole lot, but the talk, the focus was explosive plays.
So here comes Tez Johnson.
Here comes Tez Johnson, and maybe there goes Trey Palmer. Doors open for Tez Johnson. I saw Tez Johnson making a couple of plays. Bowles was talking him up. I think it's either or.
Here's another guy.
I think it's either Palmer makes the roster or Tez Johnson makes the roster, but not both.
Lee, here's a sneaky one for you in terms of downfield. I don't want to read too much into this guy. I think he caught, 10 balls last year or something. But can Devin Culp go down the middle and beat a linebacker down the middle?
I've seen him, in a game. I can't remember what game.
And is he going to get opportunities?
Well, that's just it. Maybe he will. I mean, that's a deep room, tight end. But I've seen him, I can't remember what game it was. Saints, maybe? It was late in the year. Bucks had injuries at tight end. He got on the field, made a couple of good plays, seam routes, maybe 20 yards, 25 yards down the field. So the answer to your question is yes, he can get deep. Well, deep if you consider a 20-yard route deep.
He's faster. He's faster than Otten. He's faster.
Look, he made a few plays. He didn't play much, and let's see more. You know, it's a big preseason for him. I'm sure they'll probably look to do some of that stuff. But
he's not a physical presence, right, Culp?
Yeah, he is kind of physical, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's not
little.
He's not a gigantic, big blocking tight end, but he's a physical
guy. He can get downfield, though, Steve. He can.
Tez Johnson, not that fast. I think it's just a stretch to think that he's a deep threat in the NFL. That's why he was a seventh-round pick. Smallest guy in the NFL. Smallest guy ever drafted.
Could find the niche as a punt returner,
yeah.
Steve.
Oh, yeah. No, I think he will be the punt returner, and they'll maybe find some creative ways to use him.
End around.
Things like that, but I don't see him as much more than that. But he can catch the ball. He's shown some good hands. I thought it was interesting. Todd Bowles was asked about, hey, Jalen McMillan made a nice catch today, something like that. And he's like, very quickly said, Yeah, made up for the two drops he had yesterday a little bit. So, and that's what this time of year is guys make mistakes. Media doesn't always see it. Sometimes in May or a lot of practices in May, we're not even invited out here.
What the heck was he saying about Jamel Dean not doing something, going all the way into the end zone or something? Didn't he make a point about Jamel Dean? Yeah. Like he didn't finish the play or something? I don't know if I heard it right.
Yeah, he's had some comments for all kinds of guys.
Well, Bowles doesn't want guys to get their heads too big. He's very good at that.
But the Palmer thing will be interesting. Nobody knows how many receivers are going to take. And I don't know if Trey Palmer can turn himself into a gunner or a valuable presence on that part of the game. You know, Sage, it's just kind of funny because the Bucs draft Johnson in round 7. And if somebody else took him, if they didn't draft him, what would we be hearing right now? Oh, Trey Palmer, he's really going to bounce back this year. He learned a lot as a punt returner last year. He's going to be better.
He's going to shock the world, Steve. He might shock the world.
That 4.3 speed, we're going to integrate it. And he you know, he's this, he's that. Guy still only 23 years old. We'd be hearing all that stuff. So it's just football.
Did you hear Bowles talking about Logan Hall? Talking about opening.
Yes, I did.
That really opened my eyes. Okay, for your listeners. Todd Bowles, I asked him about Logan Hall. I talked to Logan Hall after practice. I told him, I said, your three interior linemen, you and Cansey and Villa, that might be underrated. Now, I'm serious when I say that. It might be underrated. Logan Hall, his first couple of years, stunk. Last year, he had a pretty solid year. Then when I asked Bowles, he said, yeah, he had 5 sacks, and he wasn't on the field on third downs.
He did say that. Yes, he did.
So that immediately raised a question with me. Why the hell wasn't he? But let's think about this. He was not on the field for third downs, and still as an interior lineman, he got 5 sacks. It's pretty good.
Bowles is impressed with his work ethic, Hall's, and he just wants to get better. He took a step up. Now, one thing we haven't talked about, and I've been on this with this kickoff return. It's on my mind.
Here because he goes.
It's been a non-thought for all these last few years because there's no kickoff return. They boom them into the stands and into the screen, and you get the ball where you get the ball, and I think things are going to change. So my question is, does Sean Tucker have the inside job? Because I thought he did pretty well. I think he averaged 30 yards a kickoff return. Not a lot of returns.
Sage, Todd Bowles answered that back in...
Who's the kickoff returner?
In May. Todd Bowles, I asked him about that, and he answered it. Said that Tucker is the guy. He's coming in as the guy, like the job he did.
That's a role for Sean Tucker there.
Todd Bowles explained that with the new kickoff rules, it's better suited for a running back versus the traditional kick returner because it's more of a run play, and that's where we're starting anyway.
Teams might try to get cute, Lee, and pooch the ball where they make it tough for the guy to pick it up. You need a guy with some good hands.
So what's the new rule? Tell everybody what the new rule is.
Who the hell knows what the new rule is? But I know if you kick it in the end zone, you get at the 35 freaking yard line, and not too many teams are going to accept that.
You're talking about weird kickoffs. I have not heard this word since the immortal Aguayo was here. First
Roberto.
Name. Roberto Aguayo. I have not heard this since then. Are one of these weirdo kicks going to be the mortar kick? Oh, he's so good at mortar kicks.
Steve, you've been watching football a long time. One punt return or one kickoff return doesn't even have to be a touchdown. Can turn a game around and, in essence, turn a season around.
Sure it can.
It can happen.
Yeah,
it can happen. And the Bucs haven't done well in that regard.
I don't think that the Bucs necessarily... In Armstrong, who is here, I don't think he was the best available special teams coach that they could have had. He was an Arians guy. And the new guy, I forget his name, doesn't matter. I'm not convinced he's the best available guy. And it hasn't necessarily been an incredible emphasis of this organization. But, things can change on a dime. And the Tez Johnson thing is very exciting because how much better could they be with a top 12 punt returner?
Do we have a punting competition? Steve?
No, they're paying this guy, Riley Dixon, and free agency. Hopefully it's fixed.
Nope, they're bringing another guy for training camp, so Dixon doesn't get overused, but Dixon's going to be the guy.
Yeah, it was kind of strange. He opened practice yesterday, hammering balls off the roof inside the Glazer shed, which was just a strange look. I guess he was just trying to flex his leg without hurting anybody, but he certainly didn't know where those things were coming down from the sky.
We probably don't give McLaughlin enough credit, Lee, for what he's done these 2 years. I mean, He's really been phenomenal, McLaughlin. I mean, he always had the big leg, which is why Bowles said, that's enough of suck up. I got to be able to kick a 54-yarder. And suck up was strong inside the 40. He was. But Bowles wanted to expand it, and I don't blame him. This guy's operated way ahead of anybody's expectations. He never misses a field goal, Lee. He just doesn't miss.
The way passing rules have been, if you're looking at a field goal kicker as a weapon, You're probably doing it wrong.
Well, Justin Tucker has helped the Ravens over the years.
Oh, sure, but you got to have an offense. You can't just bank on field goals when
but,
six.
But games
seven.
Are close, Lee. Games are close.
I'm not dismissing that you don't need a good kicker. Don't get me wrong. But, like, you know, Bowles, like, oh, you know, we get to the 40. I don't care if we get a first down. We'll kick a field goal.
Sage.
It's always 6 points. Always 6 points.
Sage, Florida insurance adjusters are now on your side to handle every step of the restoration process because they work for Florida's elite restoration. 25-plus years of experience in the insurance industry that they have there. And now they give that benefit of all that to their customers. Water damage, whatever your issue is, trusted by more than 2,500 Florida homeowners. That's Florida's elite restoration. They've got a 5.0 Google rating. Ira, can't do better
How
than
many
that.
Homeowners did you say?
2,500-plus customers.
Wow.
And it's probably more than that, but that's what's on their website.
It's a growing company.
Everybody should go to their website, floridaselite-restoration.com. Understand why you need to call them first whenever you have a disaster at your home. The water damage whisperer himself, Ira Kaufman, he'll whisper that to you, but don't.
Now, you're not wishing that I end up having to use these people because that means there's a problem, and we don't like problems. But Sean Sullivan has used them personally more than once, and he can't say enough about them.
Same with Rock Riley, right?
Rock Riley didn't use them, but he dealt with them,
and he came away
very impressed.
Owner Josh Martin, he's got the Ira Kaufman discount, too. Florida's Elite Restoration, call them. Mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan when you call. And after your free evaluation, if you move forward with them restoring your property or even going all the way with rebuilding something that you have, because they do that, too, they'll give you $500 back just for mentioning Ira or Joe Bucks fan. If you need them, call them 24/7, free evaluation. It is that simple. You can schedule your free inspection at floridaselite-restoration.com. Ira, practice, you know, a little less spirited, a little bit. Like
snow
that.
Cones for everybody, you know.
Snow cones on the beach bar in Jamaica, yeah.
Remember when McCoy had that truck come in or whatever?
Yeah. Ding, 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 the bells and everything.
And the players are lining up. All of a sudden, I'm at the head of the line over there, and the PR goes, "What the hell are you doing online?"
Would you get an ice cream sandwich?
I think I got a swirl or something.
And then McCoy was furious with you when you didn't vote him all decade.
I didn't, but he did make my top 50, and he hasn't been named yet.
Top 50 bucks is a lot different than all decade NFL.
One of these days, I want to see Ira sing, because I know you can't play it. But at least sing Van Halen's Ice Cream Man.
Hey, and Steve, I am the guy that said McCoy's going to be in the Ring of Honor eventually.
You've always said that.
I've always said that.
You just don't think he's a superior defensive tackle.
He ain't Aaron Donald. You know what I'm saying? Neither are you, Steve.
All right. I got one last question for you before we head out of here. It's a gambling question. Sage needs to lend some of his wisdom. We remind everybody, though, we're sitting here in the Bill Curry Ford Studios in the showroom, mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Bill Curry Ford, family-owned, third-generation Ford dealership, BillCurryFord.com. All right, Sage, look, I was on the Hard Rock site here, and the bet I was thinking of is down, the futures bet, so we'll wait to talk about
that. Do I got to worry about you with betting, Steve? Are you,
no.
You over the top?
Definitely not. All right. We'll worry about that one when it reappears next week, but while I was there, there were two that I just figured I'd throw at you since you're the sage.
And he's called prop bet, Stevie?
A prop bet. The one I wanted to talk about is not there, but over under Bucky Irving, 1,000.5 yards. Your thoughts?
So it's 1,000.5, I think that's
1,000.5.
There you go. Over under. Jeez, Lee, I know they're going to try to you know, monitor his carries, Lee. They don't want to wear this kid out. Not built like Derrick Henry or Earl Campbell. I understand that. But damn it, he gives you the best chance to win, Lee, when he's on the field. You're a better offense when he's on the field. And I'm sorry, barring injury, I'm going over it because he wasn't used extensively in the first half of the season, and he still ended up with 1,500 yards from scrimmage. I'm going over, Lee.
Bucky Irving, 3 starts last year?
Yeah, all that matters is the carries. So I mean,
But I'm just saying, you think you like Skip Pete said, the Bucks running back coach. You know, everybody thinks carry are starters. You think the guy's going to be in there much time. And like Skip Pete said, just because you're a starter doesn't mean you're getting most of the carries. Starter only means you're out there for the first snap.
A lot of running backs go over 1,000 yards. A lot of running backs in this league go over 1,000 yards. And I don't think Irving should take a back seat to that many. I think he's a notch below Jamar Gibbs. And Gibbs is great.
Ooh.
Let me see this guy a little bit more. But every time he's in the game, Lee,
something happens.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Well, I thought it was interesting. There's a I saw this on TikTok. There's a coach, and he puts up a lot of X's and O's videos. Apparently, Liam Cohen was running wing T concepts, and he had Bucky Irving lined up as a wing back taking handoffs, which you don't see too often.
Oh, boy.
I thought that was kind of cool.
16 running backs hit 1,000 yards last year. Ira. And
out of those 16, how many carried less than Bucky Irving?
Look, we know Irving had 5.4 yards a carry. So
that's stunning.
You know, but I think from a betting standpoint, we know the Bucks want to get him more than 1,000 yards. And that means a lot. If he can stay healthy, the locker room, the coach.
Not to the degree they want to get Mike Evans 1,000 yards.
No, but I think they love Bucky enough to where they're going to know, hey, he's got 891 yards with two games left.
Right.
Let's get this for Bucky kind of thing. So I like that from a betting standpoint, and Bucks are still at 9.5 wins. Ira, I know you you're bullish.
I guess it's mid June, but have I already given you a prediction?
Well,
I don't know.
It's not a final prediction. I know you have more to see, but I know
that number 11 looks good to me.
You're
Steve.
Sitting it there with that
looks,
11.
It looks good to me at 11. I know the schedule's rough in the beginning, but boy, look at the last 6 weeks, Lee. It just reminds me of last year. You know, why they can't go like 5-1 in the last 6 weeks is beyond me.
Hard Rock still has the Bucks at 9.5.
5.4 yards a carry. Lee, he's a threat to go 30 or 40 every time he gets the ball.
That's fair. I saw him do something that I just thought was funny. It's not unusual, but it just looked cool. He takes the ball in a handoff. Again, underwear football, no hitting. So he's trying to go through this hole, but there's not much room there. There's a hole. Not much
what
room.
What did he do, go sideways?
Exactly, went sideways.
Sideways.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have fumbleitis. You know, he had a big one against Atlanta.
And that was his first one in, like, years, right?
You know, and they probably win that game if he doesn't put the ball in.
Oh, absolutely. They're
but
in field
it's
goal
not
range.
Like the guy's got a fumbling problem. So
no,
I don't have
no.
any great qualms about him at that.
Great rookie year. I know you love the guy, so I pulled up his prop. That's about it, Ari. You want to say goodbye to the good people of Tampa?
Well.
What about the good people of South Korea? Let's not Ira.
I chilled last weekend. This week, maybe we go to a movie. Maybe we find a movie or something. Is there anything out there? Maybe we go see Mission Impossible or something. What is that, number 7? How many remakes of Mission Impossible are they going to do?
Are you a barbecue guy, Ira?
I'm a barbecue guy. I made a nice steak the other night. Yes, I did. I'm a charcoal man, Steve. I'm a charcoal
old
man.
Old school charcoal?
Old school. Match light.
I used to do that, yeah.
Yeah.
I used to do that.
Lighter fluid or you get
well,
the...
Well, they say self-starting or whatever, and I put the match down. It don't work. I got to end up putting lighter fluid on.
Oh,
that's poor advertising, Lee.
So, in other words, you have to have a bonfire going.
I got the whole bonfire going. The whole neighborhood's up in flames.
You put lighter fluid on the self-starting charcoal?
Well, it doesn't work unless I put
it says on the bag, do not do that.
Then I throw the match in after it's all oiled
it
up and everything.
Smokes.
Boom!
Oh, okay.
I got a bonfire. And,
I think Ira's angling to go to Houston if he likes barbecue.
Oh, yeah. You can't beat Houston.
Just Texas in general, their barbecue.
How about Kansas City, Lee? That's your old stomping ground.
Yeah, it's a different barbecue. They're in the sauce.
Arthur Bryant's.
I don't like Arthur Bryant's. They bury their meat in sauce. If you got to put...
I don't like too much sauce either.
Yeah, if you put your meat in soup, what are you hiding?
Yeah.
That's why I like Texas barbecue.
Speaking of food, I had a sandwich here at Bill Curry Ford today. It was pretty damn good.
I watched you eat it. We'll see you, Ira. Thanks for enjoying the podcast. We always appreciate it. And don't forget the Joe Bucks Fan Show on 95.3 FM, AM 620, WDAE, every single Saturday, different times. So we'll be on at noon this week, but next week we'll be on at 9 a.m. So we love hitting lots of sports fans, guys driving around, women as well, of course, talking Bucks. Sometimes it's me and Lee. Sometimes it's me and Ira. So we're always mixing it up. And we enjoy doing that very much. Subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. So many people, many, many, many thousands do it that way. Podcast Addict, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, and of course other platforms. And you can listen right at joebucksfan.com. We will see you next week with a couple of episodes from the Sage. Go Bucks.